We go to our centenary in 2019, and I think between now and then, the ILO has to get to grips with a few big questions. One of them is, where are the jobs coming from in the future? We're already at globally high rates of unemployment, and the unfortunate reality is our global economy is growing at a slower rate than it used to do, and it's not creating those 40 million jobs every year that we need simply to get young people coming onto the labour market into jobs. And the question is why? Technology is one piece of the story. We seem to be on the cusp of a new technological revolution. People talk a great deal about it.
Yes, you mentioned the technology revolution as helping, and you've also said in the past that employers are crying out for qualified workers. So this isn't something that's new, as you indicate. So what can we actually do? What can you do at this conference to really bring that home before the centenary in 2019?
Well, you're absolutely right about the skills story. It's sort of a paradox, isn't it, that we have this very high levels of unemployment, and yet employers say that they can't find the people they need. That's a clear signal to our educational and training systems that we have to do better. But it's not as simple as that. We have also to get demand into our global economy, money into people's pockets. We have to get investment going. And that is a macroeconomic management of the global economy where, you know, we all have a responsibility. The ILO is at the G20 table. Frankly, jobs and growth need to be and are at the heart of the agenda. But we're not quite getting there.
Yes, and talking about being at the G20 table, you're presumably very well placed to talk about the needs of the ageing population, particularly in Europe, but also elsewhere, and how perhaps the migrant workers situation and dilemma that really seems to be gripping everyone at the moment, how it could be addressed, because presumably these workers could help this aging population doing the jobs that other people don't seem to want to do.
Yeah, it's again another of these paradoxes we have to face up to is that the global economy absolutely needs migration, and yet the social and political resistance to migration is also getting bigger at the same time. And have a real disconnect between the economic needs of the global economy and the social and political way in which migration is handled.
I wonder, given that you are at the G20 table, what's the feeling, you know, on the inside at that table? What's your sense for how politicians and governments are thinking about this problem at the moment?
I think, by the way, you know, migration is part of the ILO's responsibility. It was written into our founding constitution in 1919. You know, at the G20 table, I can see three sentiments really pervading. The first is we simply are not creating the jobs that we need. We're not growing quick enough. The very first sentence of the last G20 communique said the top priority is jobs and growth. But we're not meeting that priority. Our world economy is not growing quickly enough. That has important implications, most notably for young people. Politicians around the world are really worried about their young people, the fact that they're not finding a place in society, the economic consequences of that, the social consequences of that, and sad to say also the security and stability consequences of that. That's the first piece. The second piece is inequality. Everybody is now recognizing that the current levels of inequality in our societies is not just a social problem and injustice, it's an economic problem because it's putting a brake on these growth rates and stopping jobs being created. And I think thirdly, we have this problem of migration, this inability at the moment of the international community to work together for different reasons, by the way, some of them economic, some of them of a security nature, to ensure that we manage migration, whatever its cause, in a satisfactory way. G20 leaders have these things really, really on their minds, and so does the United Nations. We're struggling for the responses. We really are still struggling for the responses. And we have to give, as an international community, we have to give answers, and quickly.